Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. There are some schools where the entire senior class goes on to college. But most of these schools have great big green lawns and long driveways. Not the SEED school. It stands for Schools for Educational Evolution and Development, S-E-E-D, SEED. It's located in the inner city of Washington, D.C. It is the first public boarding school in the country. Most of the students come from homes where almost everyone lives below the poverty line and hardly anyone has been to college. But this year, all 21 students in the senior class are off to college. They're going to Penn, to Princeton, to BU, Duke, Georgetown, Hiram, Howard, Wesleyan, and Virginia State, and others. So here's our question. Is the SEED school the model for other urban schools? Now, it's expensive, and it does take kids away from their homes. Remember, it's a boarding school, but look at the results. Is this the fix that public education has been looking for? Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And we're joined today by one of the founders of the SEED School, Raj Vinakota, and by two members of the 2004 graduating class, Dion Milton and Sophia Acheveria are with us as well. Thanks to the three of you for coming in. Nice to have you here.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us, Mr. Gordon.
Sophia, let's start with the latest chapter in this story. You're already at Princeton, I understand.
Yes, that's correct.
You didn't give yourself any time for a summer holiday after 6 years at the SEED school?
No, I had a vacation. It was short. I spent some time with my mom and my brother, actually. She gave me this awesome graduation present of taking us to the Bahamas, so I did get to chill out a little bit.
So what was it like to arrive at Princeton? Not just to arrive at Princeton, but to think to yourself, okay, this is my school.
Well, actually, when my mother drove us up there, my brother came with me. We started to unload the van and take the things to my room. For one brief second, when I was walking up the walkway into the dorm, I was thinking, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into? I was pretty scared. But now that I've been there for about 2 weeks, it's not as frightening.
You're working hard already?
Trying to, at least.
Dion Milton, you have not yet started at Hiram College in Ohio, but you're headed off there in August. Why did you choose Hiram College?
Well, Hiram reminded me of the SEED school because it's a small campus. It's a small school. It's about 900 students. And the classes are just as small as our classes were back at SEED, and I think that was very important to my selection at that school.
How many kids in a class at SEED?
About 14.
And you came from the W.B. Patterson Elementary School. You did your last year there in grade 6, right?
Yes.
How many kids in a class at W.B. Patterson?
About 36.
Wow, what a change that must have been for you.
Yeah, it was a change, but it was for the good.
I guess. How did you find out about the school in the first place, Dion?
Well, my mom saw an advertisement on the bus, and she thought it would be a good idea for me to try it out.
What did you think?
Of course, I didn't want to leave home, so I thought it was a bad idea.
What changed your mind?
Well, we made a deal that I would try for 1 year, and if I didn't like it, then I could leave. But like, once I got there, the atmosphere was so welcoming, like, I had to stay.
And Sophia, you worked the other way, right? You had to talk your mom into letting you go?
Yes, I did.
I'm fascinated by this. This was grade 6. You were, what, 12 years old at the time?
11.
That's even more absurd. Here's this 11-year-old looking up at her mother saying, I'm going to this school. I don't care what you say. How did you make the case?
Well, it started out when I was younger, I'd say like 8 or 7. I'd kind of fallen idea with the idea of boarding school. I'd seen these shows on TV, usually these upper-class British kids in England. And I said, Mom, I'd really like to go to a school like this. And she was like, I don't think we can afford that. And when they came to the school and they said there was going to be a boarding school in my city, so at least I knew like the traveling expenses would be little to none. Yeah. I went home and I told my mom about it, and she says, I really don't know. But one Saturday morning, we just got out of church, and I told her, look, we still have time to make this low and nice meeting. Can we please go? She was like, okay, we'll go. And we went, and she liked the idea. And I'm guessing that the financial aspect of it didn't frighten her. So she went home and she conversed with my dad and they decided that they'd let me try.
Raj Vinakota, you were one of the people who came up with the idea for this school. Now, the idea was what? That you wanted to open a boarding school or that you wanted to change the way that kids in the inner city were going to school? Where'd you come from with this idea?
Well, really, it's both of those ideas. Looking at the issues of urban education, probably one of the most obvious things is that for many students, they could really benefit from being in a safe, secure, supportive environment. In addition to that, really being able to create a culture that valued education.
Why wouldn't a day school do that, even with a Cracker Jack staff and a nice facility? Why the boarding school part of that?
Because if you go and talk to many of those teachers and administrators, they'll tell you that at most they have their students 8 hours, 10 hours a day, and it's two steps back when the children go home. And that's not to say that every child is within this spectrum, but that there are a group of students who could really benefit from being in a 24-hour environment. I think there's another piece that I also want to point out, and that's what Sophia just talked about, which is it was in the community. 75% of our students come from within a 6-mile radius, and that's very important to us. We're not looking to take our students and have them go to central Pennsylvania or Kansas. We want to be in the community that we serve and not only be a resource for our students, but also for the families.
So, Dion, when you started going to this school, what did you make of the fact that you were sleeping, 5 nights a week at the seed school and then home for the weekend?
Well, I knew it was going to be a hard thing for me to adjust to, but I kind of used it as I thought of it as a big camp, you know. Like, you go away for a while and eventually you have to come home. But the difference is we take classes.
And Sophia, when Raj talks about the way that changes the way you learn, does that work for you?
The
way you
saw
definitely. It? Yeah.
In elementary school, I went to West Elementary, and there were 40 kids in my class with one teacher. And when I was younger, I complained about, the teacher never has time for me, but I didn't know that this was a regular thing and that it had been like this for a while. I didn't know why it was like that. I just thought, everyone learns like this, 40 kids in class and one teacher.
Yeah.
And it was difficult to learn, and it came to the point where I would just do my work and not care anymore, and I'd start talking and not pay any attention to the teacher, just like anyone else. And I came to underestimate the power of my schoolwork. Being at Seed with a smaller class and having a teacher who has time for you, it makes learning seem so much more important.
Was there one of those, we call them light bulb moments, when you figured out, oh, this really is going to be different, something about homework or the way that the teachers expected you to show up the next day and the next day and the next day with your stuff done?
Light bulb moment. I wouldn't exactly say I had a light bulb moment, but definitely by the middle of the first year, I was thinking, I need to stick with this. If I don't finish this, I don't know what's going to happen.
I think the flip side of that is that by that point in time, we were telling Dion and Sophia that they had no choice but to stick with it.
Yeah, they're like, if you don't finish this, we're going to have a problem. And also, if you do finish it, you're probably going to go to college. Now, doesn't that seem like a better choice?
Dion, did you have to be talked into this, or were you willing to say, I'll stay with it for the next week or the next month or the next year and see how this works out?
Yeah, I think it was a little of both. I had to, be talked into it by some of the administrators. But then I saw myself that this was a better place for me to be than any other public school around.
But when you'd go home on the weekend, both of you here, you'd be going home and seeing the kids that were still going to, W.B. Patterson and West Elementary. What was that like?
It was weird. Up until, I'd say, the 10th grade, everyone else was still in school. And then after that, I'd say, how's it been? And they'd be like, oh, I've got this job. And I was like, oh, so you leave school and go to the job? And they're like, no, this is my job. And I was like, I was thinking to myself, man, I couldn't do that. I don't want to do that. And also, some students I met after a while, some of them have had kids, some of them dropped out. Some of them have their GED, some of them don't. It's a really weird feeling because you look at each other and you're like, we came from the same place. How could we wind up so different? But there are also some students who've done very well in the public school system. I have a friend, we've been friends since third or fourth grade, and she's doing very well. She'll be going off to college in the fall.
Huh. And Dion, how about the way that those kids related to you? Was it sort of, we don't know you anymore, Dion?
It was, for some students, it was like kind of like, we don't know you anymore, but for majority of the students, they were really supportive of me, especially because they didn't have the chance to do this. So they saw me as kind of like an inspiration to not just them, but like others around them, because I was coming from the same place as them, but they knew I would end up somewhere different.
Rajvinakota, it wasn't all easy over the last 6 years. You guys bounced around. You had a number of different locations. You lost a number of kids for a bunch of reasons. The ones who didn't make it to this graduating class, why did they not make it? What kind of reasons?
Well, to the initial overview, I think in many ways 6 years ago I felt the same way that Sophia did walking up into Princeton saying, what have I gotten myself into? But, boarding schools aren't for everyone. And especially with our first couple of classes when we moved, we've had three campuses. We're finally at our permanent campus. And now that we're done construction, our first class has graduated. But there are a group of students who just feel like they have to be closer to home. We've had parents who've pulled their children out because they want them home to help raise the other siblings.
Yeah.
We've had a few students who just haven't been able to maintain the discipline that's necessary. And, we've had a couple of examples of students bringing weapons onto campus, and that's a no-no.
Sophia, was there a time when you thought, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm going to make it all the way through.
Well, sometimes I did feel like that, but that's usually when I was having, a temper tantrum and being upset and just being overly emotional, just, what young kids do. But I've never really felt that I should leave altogether. I don't believe I've ever truly felt that I can't do this and I have to go home.
Dion?
Yeah, I agree with Sophia. It was times where I felt like I wasn't going to be able to make it for the 6 years, but my friends and family, they supported me and encouraged me to stay.
I think the thing that's forgotten a lot of times is, and you pointed this out, this is hard work from everybody. It's hard work on the staff, both the academic and boarding staff that puts in so much time. It's hard work for the students who have about, 2+ hours of study hall, of study work to do every night, especially when you're in the highest classes. And it's hard, I think, on the families too. There's some very poignant moments where parents will point out that they're very happy that their child or children are going to the school, but they really miss seeing their children growing up. Those light bulb moments when you get to see your kids, mm-hmm. Walk the next step or do something special.
Our number is 1-800-423-8255. You've had a chance to hear some of the reflections from two members of the graduating class of the Seed School and Rajvinakota, who's one of the founders. We're interested in having you join our conversation, listeners. We're at 1-800-423-8255. The idea of a boarding school in the city, in the neighborhood close to where the kids are going, it is more expensive than the public education, but the results are hard to argue with. What are your thoughts about how this stands as a model? I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection from NPR.
We're funded.
I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. With me on the program this hour, Rajvinakota. He's a co-founder of the Seed School in Washington, D.C. And two of the members of the 2004 graduating class are sitting in the studio with him. Dion Milton is off to Hiram College in the fall. Sophia Echeverria is already at Princeton. We're talking about their experience going to an inner-city boarding school, kind of a new idea. And as we explore it, we'd like to have you in the conversation with us. We're at 1-800-423-8255. Sophia, I wonder if I can ask you to give us a little bit of an idea how this works within the family, whether or not it was hard for your mom to have you away 4-5 days a week, hard on your brother and sister, for example, to have you, coming back from this school on Friday night. That Can you give me a little bit of an insight into that?
Well, my mother is a very stoic person. She does not show emotion. At least she tries very hard not to when she's upset with things or she's not very comfortable with things. And I'm sure it affected her to some point to have her daughter not be there 5 days out of the week throughout the whole school year for 6 years. I'm sure that was hard for her. But I'm sure that she knew that the sacrifice was worth it, otherwise she would have let me done it. My brother also, he joined me at the seed school after 2 years when he was becoming a rising seventh grader. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that was extra hard on her. Both of her, you know, her babies, they're not there. My older sister, I'm sure, was kind of upset too because now we're not there. And so we know that when something happens that it's her and so she has to clean the house. So we didn't
But having missed the opportunity, your older sister Brea missed the opportunity. She's a mom now. I'm just wondering whether or not if there's guilt there. You look at the...
It is a very awkward feeling to have a sister who's older than you and to you to have gone farther in your educational career than she has. We still encourage each other very much, though. She's a wonderful mother, and I hope that I can be as much of a mother as she is someday. And that I also know that if she did choose to return to the academic world, that I would do everything I could to help her.
Dion, your sister is at Seed, right?
Yes.
How about you? How about the way that this whole past 6 years worked with your family situation? You don't live with your birth mother, right?
No.
What's the situation for you at home?
I live with my aunt. And over the 6 years, I don't think it's been much of a problem with me being away at school 5 days a week and then come home on the weekends.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling them exactly what I'm doing, like, every day. And I can call them during the week.
And that's what Dion thinks.
Go ahead, Raj.
I've spoken with his aunt a number of times. I think that parents will put up a good face. You know, when you think about the faith that our parents, especially of the first class, had in an institution that literally did not exist when we were going around and selling this idea, and for them to have enough faith not to send their children to our school, but to send their children away to live with us and know that they were going to live with us likely for the next 6 years is an unbelievable leap of faith. And I think that all the parents, tried very hard to be supportive of their children at the same time that I think behind the scenes, you know, it was hard emotionally on them.
Dion, what kind of a payoff was there when you got the letter from Hiram College? Do you remember that day?
Oh, yeah, I remember that day. It was a very exciting day for me, especially not just for me, but for, like, my family and my friends and my basketball coach, because this is his alma mater, and he really wants me to go here, too.
Where did the letter go, to your home or to the school?
The letter went to my home, and my mom actually opened it before I could, and I called home one day, and she screaming in my ear that I got been accepted.
Awesome.
How about you, Sophia? How did you find out?
Oh, man. Okay. I had applied early decision, so I knew that the acceptance or the decline would come the week before winter break, which was also kind of scary because that means, am I going to use my winter break to sulk or am I going to use my winter break to celebrate?
Yeah.
But I was like, no, I'm going to wait until I come home on Friday. I don't care what day it gets there, I'm going to wait until I come home on Friday. I was like, I'm going to be stoic about this. I'm going to be strong. And then Monday night, the second night, I've been away from home. I call home. Mom, yes. Is there something in the mail for me? Yes. Is it from Princeton? Yes. Could you open it? She's like, oh, God, why are you going to make me do this? She was like, don't make me do this. Like, please, please, please. And I heard paper ripping, and she was screaming her head off. And I was screaming my head off. And she was crying, and I was crying. And the kids in the community room, the phone booth was in the community room. The kids in the community room were like, oh, my God, did someone die? It was really, really crazy, and I didn't know that you could have a headache from being so happy.
One of the funniest things that happened, at least to me, was that Sophia called my office phone and left me a voicemail, and it was basically, Mr. Vinakota, this is Sophia. I got the letter from Princeton, and I got in. I'm pretty excited. That's about it. I think by the time she got to me, she was so emotionally done that it was a very funny voicemail.
Interesting, Sophia. So to get the early decision letter as a part of the first graduating class at the Seed School, this must have, in a way, kind of changed everybody's anticipation. It's sort of, oh my God, this is real. This might happen.
Yeah, it was like it was all coming together. All the pieces were finally falling into place, and I knew then, not just with my acceptance, but with the acceptances that just kept coming in, especially during the spring. Dude, it worked. It's like, whoa, 6 years, it worked. Yes. Finally, finish line. It's right there. It's right there.
It fundamentally changed the way that the seniors looked at their year. I don't know, Dion, if you feel that way, but I know that just in terms of talking to the other 20 seniors, they were much more focused on that finish line.
Yeah.
Our number is 1-800-423-8255. Let's hear from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Stuart's with us on the line. Hi, Stuart.
Dick, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for calling.
Great. And guests as well. I don't want to leave them out.
Good morning. Stuart.
All righty. Dick, I'd like to say I am a certified teacher in the state of Louisiana, and I entered education as a career change. I left the corporate world because I heard the nation's plea, we need young, dynamic, articulate African-American male role models in the public schools. The thing that most disappointed me is that the typical public school in America, particularly those that cater to at-risk, quote-unquote, children, it has dumbed itself down so devastatingly to cater to the children's ills instead of maintaining its standards and saying, you will rise to our occasion. And I find that the school systems cater to the entire system dumbed itself down to this foolishness. You can wear your pants sagging well below your waistline. You can act as ridiculous just about as you'd like and be as disruptive as you want to be. And the typical individual says, well, you can't put this child out of school because you're just kicking our little young black children to the curb.
Okay, so this is a fairly radical idea that the people at the Seed School have been fooling around with. You've listened to them describe what it's meant to both Dion and Sophia and some of the thinking that Raj has explained. What do you think of the whole idea?
I think it's a fabulous idea. However, we all know that the United States government is not going to fund public schools at this level. We spend an exorbitant amount of money financing the incarceration of individuals. I think if the government would divert a great part of the penal system funds and reestablish those funds toward the education arena, I don't think boarding schools could take place en masse, but I think the level of personnel that's needed in regular school settings could be in place to make the typical public school sector more productive.
Stuart, Hank, can I just stop you for half a second there, because I want to run a couple of numbers here with Raj, and without sort of going through the books here, Raj, my understanding is that The Washington will put up $9,000-$10,000 for a student at ordinary public school, but they were putting up more than twice that for kids at the Seed School, right?
That's correct. So the cost per student at the Seed School is about $25,000 per student per year.
And that was public money, right?
We received 24 of that through public funds. We also fundraise about $1,000 per student per year at this point.
Dick, please allow me to make this my last few points. How many professionals, Dick, do you know that go to work every day and have 20 to 30 people in their face all day long and they have zero assistance? The typical public school teacher encounters that every day. Secondly, our country will spend $35,000+ a year incarcerating an individual, and they will not spend that kind of money a year to educate an individual. Very sad commentary on behalf of the United States government.
I'm going back, if I can, Stuart, to my student guests here and on the money side of it. I mean, Sophia and Dion, you guys know in a way that you've been fish in a fishbowl for the past 6 years, that you know, the Seed School, as much as it has been home to you, has been something of an experiment. Nobody ever interviews the mice in an experiment, but what do you guys have to say? What's your sense of, you know, does it work?
I think it's really, it is sad. The amount of attention that our government gives to our schools. But I think also that the seed is proving that they need to give this attention. All 21 of us are going to very good colleges. I mean, what more proof do they need? We are, I don't want to say that we're saving children because, you know, of course there are exceptions to every cause, but we are definitely giving them a way out. And also, back to having to rise to the standards of the school instead of the school, you know, lowering its standards for the students. The wonderful thing about the seed community is that since you are there 24/5, because I can't say 24/7, but since you are there most of the time, you do not have an excuse about, you know, well, I can't do my homework because there are gunshots outside, or I can't run to the library to get books because I'm afraid of getting hurt. Taking away those distractions and taking away those excuses, whether or not they be true, then you really do not have a choice but to rise to the occasion of our schools.
And Stuart, you heard the Dion, you heard the frustration in Stuart's voice as a teacher in the school system, talking about how it makes you so aware of how money's wasted, putting people in jail, and however else the government chooses to spend the money. Do you think about it the same way yourself?
Yes, I do think it's sad that we spend so much money on so many negative things when we can take the same money and create schools where you create hope for a lot of inner city youth that they can actually have a chance to go to college and have a chance to do things that normal kids can't.
Dick, if I could throw a couple of thoughts in, I think Stuart's points are very good. One of the reasons that we started the Seed School is that we believe that many people have written off urban education. And by starting the Seed School and having this institution demonstrate its success, we wanted to change the fundamental discussion, one that went from we don't know what to do, there are no solutions, to a different discussion that says, you know what, we have figured out at least one solution, but it costs more. Now, is society willing to put its money where its mouth is and actually invest to make sure that no child is left behind?
Now, you're a management consultant, and I gather a pretty good one. You and Eric spent some considerable amount of time doing some fundraising. You got checks from the likes of Oprah Winfrey to help out with this school. Does that mean that it's a really neat idea, but it can't be duplicated elsewhere?
Absolutely not. I think it can be duplicated for a host of reasons, but let me just point out two. Number one is exactly the thing that Stuart was saying. You know, juvenile incarceration is about $47,000 per child per year. Foster care placement is $45,000 per year. There's a lot of money out there. It's just whether or not our society is willing to do it on a preventative basis or on a reactionary basis. And the District of Columbia, in all of its foresight, the D.C. City Council and the current mayor have supported this institution and put $24,000 per child per year so that we're willing to invest up front in our children. The money's there. And the question is, if you have, as we do, a random lottery where we choose our students and they come in, and we can demonstrate that taking kids from across the spectrum, that we can get them prepared for college, I think a lot of people would be willing to make investments, both on the capital side to build these schools, and then cities and states will be willing to step up and say, we want to have at least a couple of these schools, because not every child needs to go to a boarding school.
Okay, Raj, hang on half a second here. We've got somebody on the line from Acton, Massachusetts. Nancy's joining us. Nancy, you're a little skeptical of what you're hearing.
Yes, Dick, thank you for taking my call. I was earlier in my career a school psychologist. I was also certified in secondary English. And I have three questions that are related. They are the funding, the fairness, and the attrition problem.
Let's do the fairness one if we can. What's your question about fairness here, Nancy?
Well, it's related to the funding because I don't see really how you are going to come up with the funding for every child who needs it. I mean, these are public schools. That means we're providing for everybody. And I'm still waiting to hear how suddenly, as in a miracle almost, we're going to double the amount that we spend on every child.
Well, first of all, Raj, how do you go about choosing the students?
Well, we actually choose them through a lottery. We're non-selective. That is, the only requirements to get into the lottery is that you have to be a rising seventh grader who's a D.C. resident who has expressed an interest in attending the school. And we have two full-time people who go to church leaders, community leaders, principals of sixth grade elementary schools and say, you know the students who could most benefit from coming to our school. Could you please tell them about us? Could we go meet with them and introduce them to the institution? So we end up getting about 3 to 4 times as many students as we have slots, and then we hold a public lottery where we literally pick numbered ping pong balls out of a lottery machine.
And Sophia, when Nancy says nobody's going to double the amount of money we're spending on education, it'll always be just a really good experiment, what do you say to her?
I say that, yes, there is that doubt, but at the same time, like the seed, it's about the community. You have to get the people to believe. And if you don't take any steps to get the community on your side, then of course, no, it's not going to work. But you have to take a chance. You have to have hope. You have to have faith. And you also have to think, these are our children. Aren't they worth this?
Dick, if I could throw another thought in. I mean, the issue of fairness is one I think about often, but two things. One is, just because we can't do it for everyone doesn't suggest that we should do it for no one. And then secondly, I would never suggest that the boarding school model needs to be set up for every single child. So part of what we're trying to do is say boarding schools need to be part of the solution set, and currently they're not. And by starting this school in D.C. and hopefully starting schools in other parts of the country, we can at least make them part of the overall solution spectrum.
Dion, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think that just like the product of the first senior class of our school should be a good enough example to show you that it's working. And it's easy for you to say what someone can't do and someone won't do. And it takes a lot of hard work and dedication for you to raise the money for each student.
It's well put. And it sort of forms a framework for how we look at this. You can say it can't work. You can say it can't be done. But it has been done, and it did work in this case. And listeners, we're interested in having you join us. We're at 1-800-423-8255. Does this kind of radical approach of a inner-city boarding school stand as an example of just the fact that public education can be improved in this country? I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection from NPR. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. Dion Milton is off to Hiram College in Ohio this fall, though if you found him at grade 6 at elementary school, you would not have suspected it. The past 6 years he has spent at the Seed School in Washington, D.C., an inner-city boarding school, which had a lot to do with helping him get into that college. Sophia Echeverria has the same story, accepted early decision at Princeton. She has already started classes there, the Seed School. She has to thank for that. It is a more expensive, more radical approach to looking for new ways of changing public education. And we're talking with both Sophia and Dion about their experience. Raj Vinakota is also with us. He is a co-founder of the school. Our number is 1-800-423-8255. We're going to Cambridge, Massachusetts, and Anique's with us. Hi, Anique.
Hi. Good morning.
Thanks for calling.
Hi, this is Dr. Anique Kaplan, and I wanted to speak briefly both professionally and as a mom. I think this is a brilliant, life-saving, and necessary intervention. I didn't grow up in a family where boarding schools were part of our ethic, but what happened was, as a psychologist, what I saw was when I had children whose parents could afford to send them to boarding schools, kids who were usually in divorce situations, so the home life was really distressing. Within a few months of boarding school or a year at boarding school, the kids were transformed, and I sort of called it the boarding school cure. And I was amazed. And then what happened in my own life was my son, who's interracial, was experiencing enormous amount of difficulties in the Cambridge public schools, and he also has severe ADD, and he just wasn't functioning. And what I want to say about the money is the options that were available to him were more expensive than the school you're describing. A therapeutic school in Boston costs about $34,000 to $50,000 a year, and they don't provide what you're talking about. DYS is more expensive. Hospitalization is far more expensive.
Anique, let's get back, if we can, to the story of your son. He was having a hard time in the Cambridge public school system. Why?
The classes were too large. He couldn't get organized. He was a huge kid. He was about a foot taller than anyone else. So as an interracial Jewish kid, he was a target for smaller boys who would bully him and gang up on him. He was socially immature. Academically, he was fine, but being an interracial Jewish kid with ADD and huge, he just was a target. He was beaten up. He was scapegoated. It was really a horrendous situation. He wasn't mature, and he's a really gentle kid, so he didn't fight back.
But a boarding school is going to put him just in another group of students who are going to treat him in whatever way kids will treat him. Why would the boarding school be like that? My dad taught in one, and I know that there are some kids who got a horribly rough ride in boarding school.
You know what? That is a great question, because what amazed me was all the things that had been problems in the public school became assets in the boarding school. His size, he became a leader and sort of respected and feared. He was a proctor for the younger boys.
Yeah.
His interracial identity, he became a role model and a liaison between the white kids and the black kids. And the ADD wasn't an issue very much because he was in the environment. They took him from classroom to mentoring to study hall to do his homework. But what happened for him was, and this is the important thing, because he was in an environment with positive role models, a gorgeous place,
yeah,
small classrooms, his self-esteem took off. He got incredibly focused. He started to study, and he just blossomed, and people love him.
Dion Milton, when you listen to the story that Anik is telling us, I'm wondering whether or not you're looking back over the past 6 years and thinking of that part of you that lived at the school and the part of you that went home on the weekends, and whether or not, you know, that ends up being the same person or it's two Dion Miltons.
I don't think it's necessarily two Dion Miltons. I think I'm the same person in and out of school. It's just that, like, when I'm in school, I know it's business. I'm there for a reason, not to, you know, fool around. I'm there to get my education so I can go to college and be successful. And even when I'm home, I'm still I still act in a professional manner. It's just that I can
lay back some.
Yeah, I'm more laid back.
Sylvia, go ahead.
Oh, well, I think that the story of Dr. Nick's son is amazing, and I also think that the reason why he was able to blossom also is because when you live with the people that are in your community, I mean, it's different. Because when you are at school, in a regular school, and you're going home every day, there is a sense of, you know, now what? There's no one here to watch me or to make sure that those kids aren't going to bug me. And even if you are in school sometimes, you know, there's a bad ratio of staff to student, and
right,
you can't watch everyone all the time. But in a boarding school, because you have that, you know, surveillance, for lack of a better word, it's easier to just kind of relax and to get to know the other students, especially when you're living with them. You're going to be with them for a long time. You say to yourself, well, hey, if I'm going to be in this and they're going to be in this, and both of us might not necessarily want to be here, we may as well make the best of it and get to know each other, help each other out.
And where does it set you then, though, Sophia? Because you have that core group of friends and other kids from the inner city at the seed school, and then you have that comfort zone of family and older friends when you go home. And if we think about it as kind of like a stepping off, that all leads you to one of the top schools in the country. So, I mean, is that going to be difficult for you to be Sophia Echeverria at Princeton? Is it the you know, that part of me that was formed at the seed school? Is it that part of me that's more comfortable at home? Do you understand what I'm getting at with this?
I see what you mean. It's who am I going to be when I get there? And I believe it's going to be both, because this being at seed, you have, you know, this awesome community. You have these people who are going to be behind you, probably for the rest of your life, because they're like family. And it was a help and a hindrance in the fact that being with these kids, being with Dion and my other classmates, they've really given me a lot of faith in myself. I know that my self-confidence greatly improved over those past 6 years, and that I know that when I go to a new environment, that I could just think about these guys and what they would say. I'd be like, hey, I can do this on my own. I've got this.
So you bump into some graduate of Choate or Hotchkiss or some Tony Connecticut prep school at Princeton, and they say, well, where were you? And you say, I was at the seed school. And they go, what?
Yeah, they're always like, uh-huh. And I have to explain it to them. They're like, okay, wait a minute. So you live in D.C., but you don't go to, like, a prep school, and you don't, your family's not rich, and boarding school, scholarship, did you get a scholarship? No, I didn't get a scholarship. How did that happen? And usually, most of the time, I end up taking them to our website, actually, and they're like, oh, wow, hey, this is kind of cool. And after a while, it gets kind of annoying, because...
Annoying for you, or...?
It's annoying for me, because I'm like, okay, look.
Do I have to explain who I am again, all over again?
It's weird. But also, back to, who am I going to be when I get there? I find that college kind of gives you a chance to be both. Because now that you've realized the business of education, and you've also realized, you know, who I am as a laid-back person, at college, you live there, you know, and it's I don't think it's as intimate as Seed was, but at the same time, you're on your own, and so you... Now that you know, like, these two different kind of people you can be, you get a chance to put the two together and use them together. And so far for me, it's been working pretty well.
You know, if I can go out to Venice, California and take a call, it's David's on the line from Venice. Hi, David.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Fine. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Raj.
Good morning.
Hey, yes. Miha. How are you, Miha?
I've never heard of you, David.
I
can't believe you're calling from California.
Who is this, David?
David is my dad.
And contrary to what Sophia's laying out, I've done my share at Seed, and I'm just a couple years removed. But I got to tell you, they've done a wonderful job, not just with my own children, but all the kids that I've seen.
You just listened to her describe settling in at Princeton. Do you know this kid?
You know, I have to admit, I do. And it's the same story when she settles in Princeton that when she settled at Seed.
Yeah.
No phone calls, no communication. And I'm told that that's a good thing because she's doing it on her own. And I know this as a fact. When Sophia needs something, she'll call. No calls means good news. And I just got to say, though, and I've always said this, the success, I mean, the immediate success, yes, right now we see it. 21 kids going to college, okay? But the long-term success, 10 years from now, where are these students? What are they going to be doing? That's the long-term success.
Is that a question in your mind, or do you ask that with some sort of confidence?
No, with confidence.
Yeah.
With confidence. I understand. I mean, I thought when Sophia wanted to go to this school as a sixth grader, she's not at risk. You know, the family unit was intact. But then I relayed her experience that she was coming into to what I went through junior high and high school, and how very easily on the way to school someone could say, let's go do this today. Let's go do something else tomorrow. And then doing something else other than education becomes a priority. And that's the risk. Because public schools, I've said this and Raj has heard me say this many times, it's shameful that we have to have charter schools in this country. If we would spend more on education of our children and less on prisons, I think this would greatly change things. If we would invest in our future, our children, if we would pay our teachers more than we pay corrections officers, I think this would go a long way to solving our problems in this country.
Dion, can I just get back to you and a little bit about your story? We were talking earlier about your family. Have you got an uncle or a brother or a stepsister, anyone in your family with a college degree?
Well, my brother, he graduated from University of Maryland at Eastern Shore about 2 years ago.
And how's he doing?
He's doing great.
Is he a bit of a role model for you?
Yes, that's who I look to for a lot of my inspiration outside of the school, because I know he's been through it all. So and he inspires me to keep going.
And Sophia, role models, where do you look for those?
I've actually kind of made a point of mine when I was growing up that I didn't want to have a role model because I didn't want to shape my life in the form of someone else's. And I know that, you know, there are people out there who would disagree with that, but I really just wanted to be my own person. But I did look at people and say, what do they have that I know that I want and that would help me? And my mother, she has a steady job and she's happy with their life. And I said, I want that.
Yeah.
And my father, he is a very enthusiastic person. He has a lot of charisma and lots of people like him. I said, I want that. And then, you know, I get to the seed school and I meet awesome people like Mr. Vinakota and Mr. Allen. I'm like, they're doing what they want to do with their lives and they're not letting anyone tell them no. And I said, I want that too.
You may just get all that too, huh?
I hope so.
David, thank you for calling.
Thank you so much.
Nice to have you on
David.
The program.
All right.
Later, Baba.
And Raj, you listen to these two speak. You taught them public speaking in seventh grade. The contrast between what you saw in front of you then and what you're listening to on the program here.
Don't tell them how bad we were.
They were much shorter, especially Dion. And they had more pimples then than they do now. But it's amazing to see their growth. I believed very strongly that they would grow academically. What's been amazing to me is seeing them grow and mature into young adults with whom I can have fun, intensive, challenging conversations. You know, a lot of times, especially nowadays, you look at schools and determine whether or not they're effective based upon scores. For me, what makes it all worthwhile is you can't take away what we have been able to do with these 21 students and to see them mature into young adults and know that they're going to graduate from college and be successful. That's the mark and the hallmark of what we're trying to do.
Okay, so here's the deal. Sophia, when you're a teacher, you got to drop me a line, tell me where you're teaching so I can send kids there.
Just look for a seed school.
And Dion Milton, when you have a law degree, just let me know where you can be reached, okay?
Yes.
I want to thank both of you for coming in to be with us on the program.
Thank you for having
Thanks
us.
Thanks for having us.
Sophia Echeverria and Dion Milton, members of the graduating class of the Seed School. Raj Vinakota, thanks a lot for coming in as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Raj is a co-founder of the Seed School. Our program is produced by Jennifer Ehrlich, Catherine Fenelosa, Kelly Jones, Jen Mattson, Virginia Prescott, Christina Russo, and Doug Sugertz. Tara Murphy is our senior producer. My name's Dick Gordon. This is The Connection.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by SurfaceWorks, a professional cleaning service providing contractors and builders with a complete array of post-construction cleaning services. SurfaceWorksInc.com and WETA, producers of Washington Week. Tonight.